You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, Antoinette Wilson and Jordan Osmond have toured the country interviewing international and local experts in various fields. They provide great insights into the problems we are currently facing and will face in the future. But it isn't just a documentary of doom and gloom. Instead, Antoinette and Jordan provide refreshing and insightful solutions. The film is called Living the Change, Inspiring Stories for a Sustainable Future.
Yeah, so the film came about, I guess, to kind of answer the question of what can each of us as individuals do in the face of these big issues like climate change and resource depletion, economic instability. You know, you read these big kind of scary articles or headlines, and it's kind of like, well, what can I do to change that? Do I just leave it up to the governments? And while it's definitely important that governments make change as well, we feel that the push for change is going to come from the grassroots level, and that individuals do have so much power to create change.
Some of the individuals you've spoken to have quite a portfolio. So Susan Krumdick, Tell me about that interview.
That was a really, really amazing interview, and we actually shot a 2-hour interview with Susan unexpectedly, and it was absolute gold every minute of it. She has an incredible amount of knowledge and passion around the subject of energy. So she's a mechanical engineer at Canterbury University. She's originally from the States, and she grew up in a region of the States where, you know, her childhood was a lot of time spent sort of bush and in nature, and she has a real appreciation for that lifestyle and hunting for your own food and all of that kind of thing. And in time, a power station nearby began polluting the waters, and they can no longer fish from the rivers in that region, among other, you know, issues that come with that kind of industry. And I think that made her really passionate about exploring what the alternatives were, and that got her into studying engineering. And so her subject is really, what she's most passionate about is the fact that her research and experience has led her to understand that while green energy in the form of wind turbines and solar panels and the like, really useful on a certain scale, they're not the technological solution that we're often led to believe that they are on a really big scale. So what she's saying is we actually can't have what we have now just with green energy. We have to live differently and more simply and rethink how we use energy. And we were just like awestruck by this interview. It was 2 hours of gold, and unfortunately only a few minutes of it made it into the film, just because that's the way it is with film. But that's it. That's an interview that'll end up going up online on its own, edited down, because it's just so good.
She says windmills and solar panels create as much waste as other forms of electrical generation, and hydro is the way to go.
Yeah, she's saying that while solar panels and wind turbines, they are useful, they do generate power, the energy return you get from those things don't match the scale required, and things like hydro and geothermal have a higher energy return, so you get more energy back from the energy you put in creating these technologies. And in the production of solar panels and wind turbines, fossil fuels are needed in every stage of the production. There's no solar panel factories running off solar panels. There's the mining trucks require diesel to operate. So we're not saying that we can't have these technologies. I think they're definitely part of the solution. Our view is that these need to be a part of the solution, but we just need to reduce the amount of energy we actually need and be more conscious about why we're using this amount of energy. What can we reduce in our lives to need less of these sources?
Right, so you're arguing for basically less consumption and less waste, then we won't have to worry so much about where we source our power, for example.
Exactly.
I think though, definitely we need to stop coal fired power plant production. I think, you know, continuing to burn coal and use oil and diesel, gasoline and natural gas at the rates that we currently do is unsustainable and will continue to pollute the planet. But I think it's realistic to think of those fossil fuels as still playing a very minor part in the future. You know, you hear a lot of things of like, you know, zero fossil fuels, we need to entirely get rid of them. And while that'd be great with, you know, no more CO2 in the atmosphere, theoretically, I don't think it's a realistic goal. I think a realistic goal is minimal fossil fuel use and transitioning to cleaner sources like hydro and solar and wind in smaller parts.
You also spoke to Charles Eisenstein. He makes quite a lot of viral short films and produces a lot of essays. Can you tell me about him?
He's been somebody who's really influenced our thinking over the last couple of years. He's published some pretty extraordinary books, and one of them is called The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible, which I think is a great title for a book because it really encapsulates what he's talking about. So his subject is, or his key sort of theme is the transition that we are making and or need to be making from an old story to a new story. And that really resonates with us, obviously, as filmmakers, because filmmaking is all about telling stories. And what he's saying is that the story we tell is so important and needs to change in order for us to actually make changes in our lives. So until we understand what's wrong with the old story and what isn't working and why it's not working, we can't transition to a new story that is more positive and more in line with how nature works.
One of the quotes in the film, Charles talks about that you can't have an infinite growth economy on a finite planet. And I think that's one of the stories that, that's an example of a story that he talks about. You know, we have this general story that we need economic growth, that it's good for jobs, it's good for well-being, it's good for the country
and the world
at large. But that's actually coming at the cost of the ecological foundation of society.
And the social foundations as well. I think that mentality that growth is good and that we need to have, that it's okay to have more stuff. And that in fact, you know, we deserve to have more stuff. There's a real mentality that all of this stuff that we have is what we deserve to have and should have, and that everybody should have it. But in fact, if everybody in the world had what we have in the first world, well, we simply don't have the capacity to create that kind of wealth for everybody on the planet. I think, you know, that's a really interesting thing to be thinking about. You know, if everybody can't have this, then what can everybody have?
It often comes up that our wants and desires are simply products of complex marketing.
Mm, definitely. And marketing is all about stories as well. That's how marketers and advertisers play on the human mind to create these stories about what we actually need. You know, do we need to buy a new TV every couple of years? You know, do we need the latest car? Do what actually leads to happiness? What do we actually need? There's all these messages that society at large, whether they're unspoken or not, there's all these messages that is sent through family, friends and media, which is all a story in itself about what is a good life. You know, what does it mean to have purpose? What makes you happy? And I think hopefully this film makes people question that themselves. You know, what do I need to be happy? What makes me happy? What leads to a good life? And while, you know, we need to, of course, continue to buy things, I think buying consciously is the message the film tries to portray.
And so Happen Films is the name of your organisation. Can you tell me a bit about that, how it started?
Yeah, so I started Happen Films at the end of 2014 as I was in the planning stages of my first documentary that I was working on with a guy in Australia by the name of Samuel Alexander. He's a lecturer at Melbourne University. And I'd been wanting to create documentaries for a couple of years. Prior to that, I'd been teaching myself filmmaking by watching YouTube videos and reading books and watching other films, and I was really inspired to have a go at it myself. And so I came up with the name Happen Films, and the first documentary we made is called A Simpler Way, Crisis as Opportunity, and that's available for free viewing on YouTube. It's almost had 1 million views now, and that's a documentary that was shot over the course of a year. It focuses on a community of 9 people who came together on this 20-acre property in Gippsland in Victoria. So it's a look at what does it look like to live within the resources of one planet? The community grows their own food, builds out of recycled materials, builds tiny homes, and kind of tries to navigate the complexities of living in community.
I also understand that all your 16 short films now, is it? Or is this number 17?
Somewhere around that. I think it's about...
I remember.
Yeah, there's about 16 short films. Yeah, they've all grown up for free on YouTube. Ooh. And we're funded partly by donations that we get each month and just randomly from viewers all around the world, and also just through people watching the YouTube video.
Right, so are there little ad clips at the beginning, that sort of thing?
Unfortunately, there are. We don't have any control over that, and it's something that we'd love to stop. We had a woman watch a short film of ours, and she was really excited about the film. She really loved it, but she sent a wee note saying, "A shame about the Monsanto ad at the beginning."
So, seriously.
Yeah, take the ads off.
They got the algorithm wrong on that one.
So when is it premiering?
Living the Change premieres in Tauranga, which is where we're based at the moment, on the 1st of March. And then we've got screenings at the Academy Cinema in Auckland on the 3rd of March and Penthouse Cinema Wellington on the 5th of March. And then we're going to premiere it in Australia as well on the 8th of March in Melbourne. So that's our little screening run. And then on the 10th of March, it becomes available online for purchase. And actually, we've already had, I think, over 60 requests from people all over the world wanting to host a screening themselves in their own community. So we're really excited about the response it's had already.
And how long did it take to film?
So we've been working on it since the beginning of 2016, and so for the last 2 years we've just kind of been travelling around New Zealand, and in the beginning with just the idea of continuing to release short films. We didn't set out to make a feature-length documentary, but after all the people that we encountered and all these interviews that we were collecting, we thought, we've probably got enough material here to tell a pretty interesting story as one film. And so about a year ago, that idea came about to us, and we began to shoot a few more interviews and then write the film and then edit it. And we're just in the final stages of post-production at the moment. We haven't actually got a finished film yet. It's down to the wire. It's a tight deadline, but yeah, it's so close to being finished.
Yeah, well, this show's called The Wire, so we know all about that. Is there anything you or Antoinette would like to add?
What this film is about is that every single one of us has so much power to make change in our lives and to make change generally and to really affect what's happening in the world. And that we really wanted to make a solutions-focused film. We didn't want to dwell on the problems. We wanted to really highlight the solutions and the inspiring stories that are happening all over the country and that we can be a part of. It's had a huge impact on our lives, and we really hope that it'll have a big impact on other people's lives as well.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.